Hello, everyone, and welcome in on our show for the year, the golden anniversary of Mitchell High football, celebrating 50 years of Mitchell High football and Mitchell High athletics. I'm Brody Miller. Sitting here with me today is Chris Pittman, longtime member of Mountaineer football program, statistician Danny Willis, and the voice of the Mountaineers, Ricky Duncan, and we're glad to bring you in on this new show we're doing this year. We're going to take you back to the beginning of Mitchell High football, all the way back to the start. Mountaineers, obviously now one of the top programs in Western North Carolina, but we want to take you back to the start and cover some things each week. First early teams all the way up to present day, first playoff teams, our two state championship teams that played for a state title, many things like that we're going to cover each week throughout the year. But guys, we'll go ahead and get started, get everybody welcome in. Danny, go ahead and talk a little bit at the end of last year and some of the summer work with our current team that's been going on.
Well, last year we ended up 7-4, got knocked out in the second round with Corbin. We really had a good year considering where we thought we'd be. This summer they've worked hard. They've been working hard in the weight room. Before we get started, I'm going to throw just a little trivia question out there that somebody will answer here at the end. What year did Mitchell High football have a freshman, sophomore, and varsity football program? And somebody will answer that at the end of this.
So three teams, be thinking about that. Three teams in Mitchell High football. What year was that? We'll get started with Ricky Duncan back where it all started, the consolidation of Harris High School and Bowman High School. Ricky, tell us about that a little bit.
Well, Brody, back in 1975, I was at Bowman, and that was the first year of consolidation. And you had Harris High School and Bowman High School consolidated in Mitchell High School. And we'll let Chris talk a little bit about the stadium and everything, but there were no stadium, no school, because the schools didn't really start, I think we said, till the fall of 78 was when the schools combined, you know, the kids at school. So you had to practice, alternate practices at Harris School and at Bowman School. And, you know, it was a little tough at first because back then, I think our enrollment was somewhere 800, 900 kids. I mean, we were a 3A school playing in the same conference as North Buncombe and some of those bigger schools, and it was hard to compete. I mean, you're starting a new program, but Coach Doug Green was the initial head coach for Mitchell High football. He had an 11-28-1 overall record at Mitchell, and, you know, it was hard getting started, but it was just a new experience for everybody involved back then.
Right. Certainly. Chris, you were a part, you and Ricky both in those days, part of those teams, not in the roles that you serve in now and have in the past, but as young men in high school and players on these teams, tell us about that first team under Doug Green you played.
Well, Brody, I think one of the things that we ought to say right from the outset, too, and Ricky kind of alluded to it, both Harris and Bowman had really good football tradition. Coach Green actually grew up in Bakersfield and wound up being the head coach of Harris and did really, really, really well. So he was a fine football coach. But Ricky said we were kind of outclassed early. In those days, we didn't have weight programs like we have now. We didn't have off-season training and things like that. And we were probably outclassed and outmanned some because we were taking on North Buncombe, the Henderson County schools, Pisgah. We played Pisgah. And so we had some tough – it was tough going early on. But I think we started laying the early foundation. Coach Green coached us for 4 years and wound up going from the head football coach to becoming assistant superintendent or maybe a principal at a school and wound up then going on to being the superintendent of schools. Coach Green laid the groundwork. When I was a senior, we brought in Doug Brooks, who came here from Tuscola, and he had been an assistant coach at Tuscola. And he came here, and Doug Brooks really kind of started turning the tide and setting the culture for what we now know as Mitchell football. In his first year, which was my senior year, the fall of 1979, we went 5-5. And I know we went into our last game of the year, and we were 4-5, and we really put a lot of emphasis on that game. We had a freshman that started at quarterback. He couldn't talk plain. He'd call the plays. He had a lisp and stuff. And we broke the huddle laughing come to the line of scrimmage. That was Mike McCann, by the way. But it kind of took the edge off, and we won the game. Not, I mean, it wasn't a convincing win, but a big win. But we won the game. And I think Coach Brooks did a really fine job here. And then he, after only a year, he went back to Tuscola and became one of the more storied football coaches in West North Carolina history. He left us late in the year. In fact, he left probably in the summertime. And so Dennis Hefner took the program over for a year as kind of a permanent interim, I guess you'd call it. He was 4-6 his only year. Dennis Hefner had played for Coach Green on some of his storied teams in the late 60s and early 70s, and he was here for a year. And he went to Tuscola with Coach Brooks after a year. And so they both wound up there. And then we brought in Rusty Coggins, who graduated from NC State University. He's from Lexington, North Carolina. And Rusty was, after 2 years, was instrumental. He was 10-10. Rusty was instrumental in getting the stadium built. And again, he kind of put us on the map somewhat with weight training and those kind of things, and kind of gave us a new vision and a new direction. Rusty did a really good job. Rusty had a team, his second team. He had three guys on that team that wound up being Division I players in Hank Phillips, John Phillips, and James Phillips. And Hank and John played at Clemson, and James played at Wake Forest, and both John and James played in the NFL and played deep into their first year before they wound up being on the practice squad or whatever. But Rusty Coggins was very instrumental in getting the stadium built and did a really good job for us.
That does bring us to Memorial Stadium as we know it now. A big thing we talk about in our broadcast too, Ricky would say it, and now I try and say it. You map out the stadium, you talk about the field house down there. Our field house in Memorial Stadium, named after our first coach, Doug Green, there that we talked about. Guys, you were both on those teams, as I've said already. Tell us about a memorable game or two in that span when you played. Best game memory you had.
The one I remember is, I know, I believe it was Joe McKinney, who was quarterback, and Bud Young. Everybody knows Bud Young. I believe he was playing McDowell at Mitchell. And we won 6-0. I believe that was the only point scored, but it's a busted play. And Joe kind of, the old, where you put the ball in the back of the running back.
Kind of like a draw.
Yeah. And we scored on that, and that was the only point scored all night. And that was one of the early things I remember about it.
Brody, there's lots of memories that I have. I know one of the things that sticks out in my mind is again that Owen game when I was a senior. Also, I guess maybe I was a junior. I suppose I was a junior. We were playing Hendersonville at the old Harris Field, and Scott Fortner got a career-ending injury. Got his ACL blown out on a cheap shot by a guy from Hendersonville. But Scott probably baited him. Earlier in the game, Scott had hit him in the helmet and knocked him out, cold as a wedge. And in those days, we didn't have trainers, and so. Coach Green asked him, said, "Scott, did you hit that boy in the head?" And he said, "No, Coach, I didn't." Well, on Monday when we watched the film, he put him down like Mike Tyson would put somebody down. So I remember, I don't know if Ricky recalls it or not, we practiced over here at Harris, and from time to time we had to deal with, at that time, part of their wastewater treatment plant or something come right by the Harris football field, and it didn't smell too pleasant. So there's lots of things like that you remember, and the Harris Fieldhouse and the Bowman Fieldhouse were both not much more than a quarter inch piece of plywood over two before. They weren't very good.
The stadium wasn't much better either. But guys, before the consolidation, when Bowman played Harris, it was unreal.
Oh yeah,
Chris can tell you. I mean, there were people on the banks. They'd just cram that place in. It'd park up the road over at Bakersfield, over here at Spruce Pine, it'd park up toward everywhere, up toward the middle school and everything. You couldn't get in. It was unreal. It was a heated rival.
Oh, yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, there was some storied games in the Harris and Bowman era when they played each other. And that's one of the reasons why, I think just because of how competitive Harris and Bowman were, both in football and basketball and other sports, that's why they felt like the consolidation would be a surefire, because you'd take the good kids from Harris and Bowman both, and you'd really have a powerhouse. And as things, it didn't start out like that. It took us a while to get our feet underneath us and stuff. But you go all the way back to those early guys. I think every coach contributed in one form or another to get us where we're at today. And it took a long time for it to really kind of come together and stay together. But those guys really laid a good foundation for us. And a lot of good guys, a lot of guys were just tough old football players that we hung in there.
Certainly. Well, first few years there we've covered of Mountaineer football history. Before we wrap up, Danny, Chris, two scrimmages already under the Mountaineers' belt coming into this 2025 season. Danny, talk about our first week at Chesney 2 weeks ago, what you saw.
First week at Chesney, I was really pleased with what I saw from the defensive side and the offensive side. The defense looked good, but the offense, a lot of times we could have scored, but you only got eight plays. Our line drove down the field. We drove the length of the field, run out of plays. And so I'm looking for excitement.
Certainly. Chris, kind of same thing carried over to Inca this past Friday. Tell us about that a little bit.
I think we kind of changed the pace of our offense a little bit between the Chesney scrimmage and Friday night at Inca. Saw some bright spots. I think we probably solidified our starters probably at Chesney. I think at Inca we were able to identify some depth and stuff. We're going to need some depth. It's a long season. But very impressed. I feel like that this football team has taken care of business. They're on a mission. And I think Coach Pittman and the staff has done a really fine job with them. And I'm looking for great things this year from Mountaineer football.
Certainly. Lastly, before we step aside, coming into this week, week one opponent, Charlotte Latin, our third matchup in Mountaineer football history is Charlotte Latin. 2 years ago, it was a win in Charlotte. Last year, we fell short in Ledger, back in Ledger this week. Any comments on our opponent coming in? Anything? Big week one matchup this week in Memorial Stadium in Ledger.
Well, you know, at this point in time, Brody, we don't have a lot of intel on Charlotte. Don't know a whole lot about them, but we know their habits the first 2 years. I think they'll probably come out offensively. I think they'll probably run the true spread. They'll spread us out from sideline to sideline. And try to get their receivers in open space and get the ball to them, let them make some plays. I think it'll be a big challenge for our DBs. But I'm sure that Coach Miller has probably got some of his tonic stirred up for them and to disrupt their timing and things like that. And defensively, they're not bad. They're like a lot of teams from the Piedmont area of the state. They just run to the football to make plays. They try to out-athlete you and get up the field and wreak havoc with your timing and things like that. But I'm sure that we'll be well prepared for that. We'll look at the film from the last 2 years and probably base a game plan more on that. It's hard to tell a lot of times in scrimmages how good a team's going to be. Are they playing their starters? Are they running junk plays? What are they doing to throw you off? And as the season goes on, you know, it becomes a little easier because you're going to try to win every game and you'll get their goods on game day.
Certainly. Answer to our trivia question from early on.
Can I answer it, bro?
Ricky Duncan's going to answer it for us. What year did we have a freshman, a sophomore, and a varsity team? Three teams at Mitchell High School.
It was my sophomore year, and I had the honor of playing on the only sophomore football team at Mitchell High School, 1975. The first year we consolidated, we had a freshman team, a sophomore team, and a varsity. And I played on that sophomore team. I sure did, so. Makes me feel old.
1975, three teams at Mitchell High School. Well, we hope you'll join us again next week. Before we go, multiple ways to find this show. You can find it online on WTOE on Facebook, Mitchell High Football Facebook page. You can find it on the Bruce Eichert Morning Show around 7:30 every Friday morning, or you can find it in our pregame show before our broadcast on Friday nights. We'll be on the air around 30 minutes before kickoff, and you can find it there. Guys, any other comments this week before we step aside?
Go Mountaineers.
Absolutely.
Certainly. Certainly. We're glad to have you in on the first ever edition as we celebrate 50 years of Mountaineer football.